Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text Number 19. Is 20 also written on there? Or just 19? Okay. Atma Nitya Avaya Avyaya Shuddha Eka Kshetrajna Ashraya Avikriya Sva Drik Hetu Vyapaka Asangi Anavrita Atma Nitya Vyaya Shuddha Eka Krishna Gyan Ashraya Avikriya Sudrit Tetur Vyapako Sangi Sangyanarita Atma Nitya Vyaya Shuddha Eka Kshetrajna Ashrayaha Avikriya Sudrighetur Vyapako Sangyanavrita. Judha Kshetrajna Ashraya Manitya Vyashuddha Eka Kshetriya Ashraya Vyasa Hituryo Vyapako Sangyana Vrita. Ladies, Yasuda Vajeshadashvaya Avikriya Sudrighetur Vyakar Sangiravrita Atma. Go ahead. Atma, the spirit soul, the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nitya, without birth or death. Avyaya, with no possibility of dwindling. Shuddha, without the material contamination of attachment and detachment. Eka, individual. Kshetrajna, who knows and is therefore different from the material body. Ashraya, the original foundation. Avikriya, not undergoing changes like the body. Svadrik, self-illuminated. Hetu, the cause of all causes. Vyapaka, spreading throughout the body in the form of consciousness. Asangi, not depending on the body, free to transmigrate from one body to another. Anavrita, not covered by material contamination. Translation and purport for both two verses by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Atma refers to the Supreme Lord or the living entities. Both of them are spiritual, free from birth and death, free from deterioration and free from material contamination. They are individual, they are knowers of the external body, and they are the foundation or shelter of everything. They are free from material change, they are self-illuminated, they are the cause of all causes, and they are all-pervading. They have nothing to do with the material body, and therefore they are always uncovered. With these transcendental qualities, one who is actually learned must give up the illusory conception of life in which one thinks, I am this material body, and everything in relation with this body is mine. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 15:7, Lord Krishna clearly says, Vamayvangso jivaloke jivabhuta. All the living entities are part of me. Therefore, the living entities are qualitatively the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the leader, the supreme among all the living entities. In the Vedas it is said, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. The Lord is the chief individual living entity, the leader of the subordinate living entities. Because the living entities are parts or samples of God, their qualities are not different from those of the Supreme Lord. The living entities have the same qualities as the Lord, just as a drop of seawater is composed of the same chemicals as the great sea itself. Thus, there is oneness in quality, but difference in quantity. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by understanding the sample, the living entity. Because all the qualities of God exist in a minute quantity in the living entities. There is oneness, for God is great, whereas the living entities are extremely small. Anor Aniyan Mahato Mahiyan. Katha Upanishad 1:2:20. The living entities are smaller than the atom, but God is greater than the greatest. Our conception of greatness may be represented by the sky, because we think of the sky as being unlimitedly big. But God is bigger than the sky. Similarly, we have knowledge that the living entities are smaller than atoms, being 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair. Yet the quality of being the supreme cause of all causes exists in the living entity as well as in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, it is due to the presence of the living entity that the body exists and bodily changes take place. Similarly, it is because the Supreme Law is within the universe, the changes dictated by the material laws occur. The word eka meaning individual, significant. As explained in the Bhagavad Gita, 9:4, Matstani Sarabhutani Na Chaham Teshavasitaha. Everything material and spiritual, including earth, water, air, fire, sky, and the living entities exist on the platform of spirit soul. Although everything is an emanation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not think that the Supreme Lord is dependent upon anything else. Both God and living entities are fully conscious, as living entities are conscious of our bodily existence. As living entities, we are conscious of our bodily existence. Similarly, the Lord is conscious of the gigantic cosmic manifestation. This is confirmed in the Vedas. All these Vedic injunctions prove that both the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the minute soul, are individual. One is great and the other is small, but both of them are the cause of all causes, the corporally limited and the universally unlimited. We should always remember that although we are equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in quality, we are never equal to Him in quantity. Persons with a small fund of intelligence finding themselves equal in quality with God, foolishly think that they are equal in quantity also. Their intelligence is called avishuddha buddhaya, unpolished or uncontaminated or contaminated intelligence. When such persons, after endeavoring hard for many, many lives to understand the Supreme Cause, are finally in actual knowledge of Krishna, Vasudev, they surrender unto Him. Vasudev Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudurlabaha. Thus they become great Mahatmas, perfect souls. If one is fortunate enough to understand his relation with God, knowing that God is great, Vibhu, whereas the living entity is small, Anu, he is perfect in knowledge. The living entity, the individual, exists in darkness when he thinks that he is the material body and that everything in relationship with the material body belongs to him. This is called Ahamama, Janasya Moho Yang Ahamamiti. This is illusion. One must give up this illusory conception, thus become fully aware of everything. So the translation again. Atma refers to the Supreme Lord or the living entities. Both of them are spiritual, free from birth and death, free from deterioration and free from material contamination. They're individual and they're in the knowers of the eternal body, external body. And they are the foundations or shelter of everything. They are free from material change, they are self-illuminated, they are the cause of all causes, and they are all-pervading. They have nothing to do with the material body, and therefore they are always uncovered. With these transcendental qualities, one who is actually learned must give up the illusory conception of life, which one thinks, I am this material body, and everything in relation with this body is mine. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatyade Siddharane. We have to hear the same thing over and over again, and then maybe some life will be able to accept it. Namely, that we're small and God is great. Greater than we can imagine, and we're smaller than we can imagine. Generally, we think God is smaller than we can imagine, and we're greater than we can imagine. So this is called Bhayam Dvitiya Avniveshitasya Ishasabhitasya Viparyos Smriti. We've changed roles with God. Instead of becoming worshippers of God, we become worshippers of ourselves, what we think is ourselves, namely this material body. So worshippers we are, we always have to worship something, but now we're worshipping this body. And now we're thinking that without the body we can't exist, but as explains here, actually without us the body can't exist. We think we're dependent on the body, but actually the body is dependent upon ourselves. The same thing is if you go up to a tree, you hug the tree, and you say, let me go, let me go. And someone comes along and says, my dear sir, there's no problem. Just give up holding on to the tree. The tree's not holding on to you. You're holding on to the tree. No, you don't understand. You're just, you and your philosophy. Do something practical. Always speaking philosophy, nothing practical. Let me go, free me. Sir, just let go of the tree, you'll be all right. No worries. Go away. Send me someone who'll give me something I can believe in. Tell me something I can believe in. Give me some way out that I can keep on holding on to the tree and be free. So similarly it says here, Janasya moho yamahang mameti. How is it that the living entity has become entangled in the material world and is believing that he is this material body? Why? Simply because he wants to. There's no other reason. He wants to because he has this idea that I'm going to somehow or another imitate Krishna. That's, in one sense, it's not bad. It just starts out good and then goes to bad. In other words, we start out from Brahma as Brahma, just a little imitation of Krishna, and we wind up as some amoeba in some demoniac person's intestines. Our idea at first seems like all right, but then it's revealed gradually that it's not all right. In other words, Radha and Krishna are in the spiritual world with all their associates, and they're all enjoying transcendental pastimes of loving exchanges. There is nothing but love. But when the living entity comes from the material world and wants to love the material nature, then he'll love any part of the material nature. Goodness, passion, ignorance, and it just goes down, down, down. His love is there, but what he's loving is not very lovable. But he thinks it's everything. He thinks he's everything, that his universe, this body that he's in, is the whole universe, and there's nothing really outside of it. Everything, the whole universe is just meant for his universe. Unfortunately, he comes in contact with others who also think the same way, and generally they don't get along with each other, especially over the long period of time. The whole idea of you put a pebble in the ocean, in the lake, and there's a circle, and if you put it in the same place, each pebble, then there is no clash. But if everyone is putting the pebble in a different place, then all the circles simply clash with each other. So everyone has come here to become God. Unfortunately, there's only room in the universe enough for one God, and it's not us. But still, everyone is fighting for a false position of becoming God. And how to become God? Atap tu itera. That Pumsa Striya Maituni Bhavang Etang Tarar Mriya Granti Mahu Atogriya Shetri Sitapti Vitera Janasya Moho Yang Ahangmameti. So we've had this idea of imitating Krishna, and we do it in different ways. I am Krishna, or as I said before, now it's I am Tarzan, or I am Mickey Mouse, or I am Romeo, you are Jane, you are Minnie Mouse, you are Juliet, somehow or another. I am Macho Cockroach, you are a Beauty Queen Cockroach. And then they get together and they play. And they play and they play just like a little child is playing with her toy Barbie doll and whatever, Romeo doll. They're playing, and the play comes out to be they need a nice house to play in. They need a nice, they create little children to play with. And they go on playing. Of course, in this age, people don't know how to play. So they usually hit each other with all their dolls. I don't like you. I'm going to find someone else to play with. You don't play nice. So it's just a play. It's a virtual reality. Everyone is trying to play. And they're imagining it's all like some great drama. And they're, as I said before, they're the hero or the heroine. But they don't realize it's just a three-dimensional reality going on. And they really have nothing to do with it, other than they're simply sitting there as a little soul clapping or booing. But the soul, prakrite kriyamanani, nigra, what is that? Gunai karmani sarvashaha, hankara vimudatma karta hamiti manyate. It is very difficult for the soul to imagine, how is it possible? I'm not doing anything. That's horrible. That's what a conception. This is really fanatical Hare Krishna philosophy. Don't want to give credit where credit is due. Of course, we want to take credit for everything that good we're doing, and we want to be excused for everything that we're doing that's not considered to be so good. I'm a victim for the bad things, and I'm the hero for the good things. But this is all illusion because we're simply desiring. On a basis of our desire, our activities may be good, they may be bad, or usually they're confused, somewhere in between. But it's simply the soul's desiring, and even his desires are being supplied to him by the material nature. In the material world, desires are coming, as it says, apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apapravishanti yadvat Tadva kamayam pravishanti sarve sa shantim atnoti na kama kami. person is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enters like rivers into an ocean, which are always being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So desires are constantly flowing through our mind. There's never going to be a time while we're in this body that there won't be desires flowing through our mind. But if we're in Krishna consciousness, then we'll see the desires differently. At the beginning, if we have a higher taste, then we won't be distracted by the desires. We'll realize what they are. And if we want to fulfill those desires, what the consequences will be. That's called knowledge. But one cannot, even if one is aware of the consequences, still, yet pada pankaja palasa vilasya bhaktya kamashaya grihitamu gritanti chanta tavana rikta yatayo matayo piruda shutoganas tarunam vaja vasudeva. The devotees, because they're experiencing a higher pleasure in chanting and hearing about Krishna and serving Krishna, and therefore, although there may be so many ideas going through their mind, they do not become distracted. Or, as much as we develop that taste, be hearing and chanting about Krishna, then we realize that actually I'm not the body. I'm actually really meant to be with Krishna, and that's possible through the process of hearing and chanting. But if I hear and chant about the glories of sense gratification, and I hear about their glories, then my consciousness will become entangled in another conception, and instead of appreciating and experiencing Krishna, I'll be more and more deeply involved with the temporary senses and the mind. And the result is simply the miseries of material existence, suffering and ignorance without any real awareness of what our real identity is and what our real interest of life is. In that conception of life, we're thinking everything depends upon my body. All my happiness depends upon my body. My future depends upon the body. My salvation depends upon the body. In one sense, that's true if the body's used in Krishna's service. Then our future will be determined by such service. It'll become bright and blissful. Then, as we use the body in Krishna's service, then I'll become aware of my independent nature. I'll gain knowledge by the proper utilization of the body. So the body is a valuable tool. If it's used in Krishna's service, it's the gateway to liberation. Mahat seva dwaram ahur vimuktes tamo dwaram yoshita sangi sangha. Then by associating with the great devotees, especially reading Prabhupada's books, serving Prabhupada's books, hearing from those who are hearing, and serving Prabhupada's books, then the result is that we have an alternative from the misconceptions, misdirections coming from our mind. Instead, there is true direction toward liberation in the words of the great souls, and if we accept them and desire to fulfill their desires, then the result is that this body is utilized in a productive way. And ultimately, we actually get to the doorway of liberation. And then from there, sharara tara bhakti anukramishyati. Sharara tara bhakti. So, first there'll be gradually some faith. It's true, I'm actually eternal. And how do we know that we're actually coming to that platform? Because we don't lament. We don't become hankering for some other situation. Next week it'll be better, or next Friday it'll be better, or on the feast everything will be all right. Hang in there. Feast to feast. Or when I finally get out of here, everything's going to be all right. Or when I'm 90 years old, things will turn better, my astrologer told me. No, the whole idea that now is something, so many things are wrong. He's wrong, she's wrong, this is wrong, the rain's wrong, God's wrong. No wonder I'm not happy. It's all wrong. But everything will get better because I don't know why. But I just have faith because I'm a good person. Finally, the grace of God will shine upon me and everyone else will go away. Or whatever people's conceptions are. But the fact is that actually it's just our conceptions of life which are wrong, our attachment to our unhappiness with our present circumstances, our hoping for something better in the material world, and our lamentation that things didn't turn out the way I wanted them to, although I thought I deserved it. No, instead of that, the alternative is to actually hear the words from the great devotees, see the examples of those who are great devotees who are following the great devotees, accept them, follow them, and then gradually our appreciation for Krishna's association, our experience of Krishna's association and his associates will be there, and then we'll be happy under all circumstances. Guru na pivi chalyate. Even in the most difficult circumstance, one will still be blissful and happy. Prasanatma. Then, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. Because one will be in the kingdom of God. And even the most difficult circumstance will not impress one. That a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada was so deeply engaged in hearing, chanting, experiencing Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes, that he was deep into the ocean of devotional service, and on the surface of the material existence, there may be some waves or even a great hurricane, some fishes floating on the top, some boats having some difficulty. But if one is deep enough in the ocean of devotional service, this is just superficial and would not disturb one. So therefore, our real emphasis should be how to dive deeper into the ocean of devotional service, not try to correct all the waves, look at all the waves and see how which way they should flow and when they should flow, stop their speed and make all plans and technologically trying to control the waves of material existence and simply get caught up in wasting our time. The waves will flow on long after this body has gone away. We'll still be there. And if we made our life to stay here eternally, trying to correct the waves of material existence, we'll just be wasting our time. So, I'll stop there. Any questions? Thank you. Yes.
Prabhupada spent the entire purport highlighting the difference between God and the living entity. Anu Vibhu. You know, but the last sentence of the purport sounds almost like he's promising you that you'll become God if you read it. This is illusion. One must give up his illusion, illusory conception, and thus become fully aware of everything.
Yes.
That's what everybody wants. They want to be fully aware of everything. Sounds like it's such a great promise.
Yes, that means to become fully aware of everything means to become aware of how tiny we are, how tiny everyone is. But everyone is valuable. Just like a little piece of gold is valued because one knows the value of the whole gold mine. And even a little piece of gold nowadays is worth a lot more than all this paper money. So, of course, if Prabhupada had to explain everything in every single sentence, if we couldn't assimilate the whole purport, or even this verse, one could take the verse in an impersonal way if it's taken out of context. So, we shouldn't be embarrassed by the fact that we're actually tiny souls and that whenever we get the opportunity, just see, there's a contradiction. If there's a contradiction and then maybe the author doesn't know what they're talking about and maybe I am God. Take every opportunity to find some fault. I know there's a certain country in the world where people study this Prabhupada's book so scrutinizingly. They look at every single letter. Exactly, it's in relation to the next letter. Scrutinizing it. And if they can find some fault, their heart leaps with joy. I found it. There's a contradiction. The person who wrote this book, he didn't know everything. He was imperfect. Now I'm free. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to be bound by this imperfect book. So Krishna is very clever. And if we want to find some fault, we can find fault and therefore go on with our material existence with full confidence, with full enthusiasm, not even slightly impeded by the words in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.
Well, no question. Because it's so clear that